I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
How would treasure change your life? Really think about it. We've all played this game before, right? What if I won the lotto? Well, I just did. Play the game, not actually win the lotto. Otherwise, things would be different this morning. But someone came into my office this last week, or a couple weeks ago, when it cleared $1 billion. $1 billion. And they convinced me to go drop what I was doing and get tickets. Literally took them 10 seconds. They said, it's $1 billion. And I got in their car and we left. But I was like, okay, what would I do? First, right off the top, I'd tithe on it, right? I'd tithe on it because, I mean, I just want to make sure that God knows I won't forget him if he was to bless me like that, right? But then, well, I got plans. That tithe, by the way, the cash option was $750 million, so $75 million off the top comes to the church. Yay. And so with that alone, I think that would cover this, which is what I really want to do, which is to kind of transform our church into a camp, monastery, water slide thing. But you're all invited to come and live in it, because that's what I want. That would be the best part of it.
You are hippie.
I am... If that's how a hippie lives, sign me up. Anyway, that is what happens though, right? Like if something that life-changing happens, you change your life, right? Because that's why we call it that. It's life-changing. And that's that moment when all of your what-ifs, right? Those dreams of what-ifs, they suddenly become been-theres and done-thats. And that is quite different from our usual life of if-onlys. Right, I would volunteer if only I wasn't so busy. I would donate if only I had a bit more money. I would go vote if only the game didn't go into double overtime. But we got so many of them. And the problem is, it's because we're wired this way. We are wired to take the path of least resistance to the place of maximum comfort. That's who we are. That is what our flesh desires. That's what we're walking around with. That's our machinery, right? Because it seems things like that, the least difficult path, it seems safe. It feels simple. And it sure looks satisfying to our earthly self, to our flesh. So why does that all change whenever we imagine a life full of riches? Like it just totally looks different. And I think it's because it shakes things up, right? If you were rich, it just shakes up and it makes you look at the world, lets you look at life without worrying about satisfying our earthly selves. I got all the money in the world. I can do whatever the flesh wants, no problem. And so then when we get that feeling, that sense, we can really shut the flesh up. And when we shut our flesh up, we can start to hear the Spirit speak. And that is huge. And it's what we need, because the mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit, well, that's life and peace. That's what we want, right? But we do need a reason. We need a reason to reject our predictable path and spark us, to stir us, to take that life-changing action. We got to get something to get us going. Something has to come into our lives, disturb our status quo, or else we'll just slip back into spiritual sleepwalking while our flesh gets to take the wheel and do what it wants to do. So the bottom line is just this: to keep things from settling down, we need to shake things up. Otherwise, that flesh is in charge and you know what he wants. And nothing does that shaken up like life-changing treasure, right? That big payday, that billion-dollar ticket, which is why God hid a hoard for each of us in plain sight. And as we have seen, it's his treasure. His treasure is in the truth, in his word. We just got to go unearth it. And when we actually do, and we wait, and then we read, and we seek and we receive, we are guaranteed to encounter a treasury of life-changing truths. Boo. Boo, I knew you would try some church trick like that. Truth is the treasure. That's real cute, but that's not what I want. I'm looking for quit my job tomorrow kind of riches, you know? And I know, I get that. That's kind of what we all want, to just be unshackled from this place. What I am telling you, and this is not an analogy, this is the truth. God's truth is that kind of treasure. Change your life tomorrow treasure. Because when you really get it in your hands, it can shake you enough to change your life just as dramatically as a $1 billion payday, okay? That's what I'm wanting you to believe this morning, because it is true. And it's hard to swallow because we like that $1 billion idea a whole lot more. But it's because an actual, real, true encounter with God's truth will shake your position and power. It will shake your perspective and your perception. And it'll shake your priorities and your plans to the core. It will change everything. And so I want to run through, this is what we're talking about this morning, how that works so that you know when you're having that encounter, when you've come across some of that treasure, okay? First, God shakes your position and power when you, in his word, dig in and unearth his true identity, okay? Who he really is. Who is he? Let's dig. Who is he? This King of glory, the Lord Almighty, he is the King of glory, okay? Look at that. Look at how shallow we had to deep. That was one verse, and let's just start right there with that. He's the King of glory, okay? Literally, in the Hebrew, that means the King of weight. Weight, because he is the epitome of substance and importance and reality itself, everything. He's the King of weight, gravity. He is the maximum of every measure on every scale that ever existed. And being that, that allows us to gauge the weight of everything else because we have him as the maximum. Because we can compare anything to him and see how short it falls of him, right? That's how we can tell. I can tell I'm so tall because the stick is taller, right? That's how it works. You can measure against that. And so when we weigh things that we think of as heavy in our world, in our lives, like wealth, right? Or looks, or power, or approval. These are all the really heavy things in our fleshly lives. Well, when we weigh them against an omnipotent God, when we get a picture of the King of Glory, we quickly conclude that God alone is permanent, is real, and frankly, is all that matters. He has so much gravity that everything else just orbits him and is itself defined by what he does and their relationship to him. That's how much weight he has. That's how much glory. He's the King. He is the epitome of glory. So whenever he, that heavy, heavy God, enters our light little lives, things get shaken up. Because that's what happens when heavy things drop in, right? That is true. You ever notice how if you read your Bible, there's always earthquakes and trembling whenever the presence of God shows up somewhere in the Bible. It just, it's shaky. It's quaky. It happens. It just, that's the weight of his glory against this place. That's what just naturally happens. And when we are truly, actually shaken by that truth, it should change us because we can know that compared to God, everything else is light, right? Everything down here is just light. It's not even close. It's nothing. And that right there, when you realize that compared to him, all of your earthly life is so light. Well, that's as freeing and stirring as any amount of money. Because who cares about having it easy here on earth when our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all? Stay focused. Keep your eyes on the prize. But, okay, here's the but. God's truth only has this effect to the degree that you really, actually treasure it in your personal heart. You have to buy in to get that payoff. That has to happen. God's truth can't be really possible to you. You know, I was stuck in that for a long time in my life where it's like, that's a really good idea, but, you know, I'll weigh these other ones, but it can't be really possible. It has to be really real to you. You have to treat it as though it's real for it to affect you like it's real. Let him become that real presence, because possible treasure doesn't weigh much, doesn't weigh anything, you know? That's why it's always thought bubbles that are clouds. Those are dreams. They weigh nothing. In fact, God as a possibility or a thought is lighter than you, right? Because you're in control. Only God as a reality is heavier than you and can affect you because he has the weight. And he needs the full weight of his full glory if you want him to shake you up, right? And that's what we're looking for here. We want his riches, his truth to come shake us up. Well, then you got to give him the weight that he deserves and know that you are this light little life. So I got to ask you then, okay, knowing that, setting that scene, has God the reality God come into your life? Here's how you know. Ask yourself these questions. Has the stuff that he's shaken in your life stirred you to change? Has your earthly life made way for the weight of his glory? You know, accommodate him. Have your previous positions and your sense of personal power been changed as you read his word? Do you see things differently now? Did you just fit him into your old agenda? Or did you take him and make him the center of your new agenda? Did he become your agenda? We really got to answer those questions honestly, because that's the only way that you'll know that you've encountered the real riches of his truth. Because when you know him truly as the King of glory, it changes how heavy earthly things feel. For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. That's how it happens. When you get your eyes fixed on that and you see your measly little life, it just doesn't feel so big anymore. Because second thing, this is the way he shakes you. When you're in that word and you're digging and you're looking and you're learning, when he shakes your perspective and your perception, when you unearth his true love. And that happens after you've been shaken out of your comfortable position of power, right? Because until then, you're the one in charge. Because it takes a change of your position to change your perspective, right? Like, we know that's true. If you want to see something differently, you have to move. And then seeing where we land in this new picture of true glory, of weight, of what has weight in the world, when we see that he's all that and we're not so much, well, that ought to cause us to reevaluate everything that we think we've been perceiving up to that point. You know, just if he is the King of glory, the King of weight, what does that mean for everything else in my life? Well, it means he loves you. Huh? How does that mean that? Well, okay, listen, follow me on this for just one second. What effect does an airplane have on an ant? Not a pleasant one, right? Not a pleasant one. Well, how on earth does the King of all things heavy and weight not crush our little lives? Okay, if that's the natural order of things, how does that not happen? Well, there's only one logical answer. Because we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead in trespasses, you know, when we were obeying the flesh over the spirit, that's when he made us alive. Okay, when we see who he really is, it also reveals who we really are. And by all accounts, we could have, should have, and would have been crushed if God himself hadn't taken great care to not break us, but merely shake us. Okay, because we have seen, he's the plane, we're the ant, okay? And it is so hard. You have to be so gentle and caring and loving and deliberate to not crush that measly little ant, and that's us. He loves us because we're here. That's just the truth. And when you receive that kind of mercy from that powerful of a king, you got to ask yourself, why? Who is this guy, and why is he like that? Well, it's pretty simple, actually. God is love. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. He's love. And it's only that God love is foreign to our flesh, okay? Because we, again, down here, got it kind of backwards. For example, imagine that you won the lotto, all right? Because that's the fun part of this. Imagine that you won the lotto, and shortly after, you meet the love of your life. Right? Things are just going better. And then you get married. But then they discover that you've donated all your wealth to the church, or, you know, charity, but let's say the church, because I like that. Let's say that you've donated all your money, and they decide, oh, I'm going to leave them then. I'm going to leave you. I can't get my hands on your money. You gave it away. Well, ouch. That hurts. Because you realize at that moment, they didn't really love you. They just loved the money. You were just the means to an end. Well, that right there, that's unfortunately generally our default. Our self-centered earthly love looks like that. We care for something because we get something out of it. It's the part, that's our flesh, guys. It's just how we're wired. We just see it as some sort of transactional reciprocity thing. And even our love for God can take this on and start to become selfish, where we secretly expect like his power or his blessings or even his wisdom. There's times where you can be in there and you're still saying, you better bless me and show me and make me better and make me wise. And I expect that to be given in exchange for my love. We can do that because we have a hard time not seeing it in the way that the flesh sees it. But anytime we do anything like that, that's all just marrying God for his money, when we expect something from him. So if that's us and our default, why would he ever love us? Why? He stands to gain nothing but heartache from loving us, and that's all we've given him. Well, again, guys, this is a tricky concept for our fleshly little brains, but it's because he is love. He is love. He values and connects with the pure truth that is behind all creation, knowing its purpose and seeing its beauty in and of itself. He loves because he loves because he loves because he is love. And that's really hard for us. That's hard for us to understand because, again, we have that flesh. We're like, yeah, but what does he get? What is he getting out of it? Well, nothing, that's it. The closest I can think of as an analogy maybe comes when we love something like music or art, right? Because we generally don't really gain anything from loving it. We're not richer. I don't make money off of listening to music. But it's just the appreciation for the beauty alone. And sometimes when you're listening to something that just stirs your heart to love, it's not useful in any way to you. It's just beautiful, and that makes you love it. It's not a means to anything. It is the end, and you just love it. It's good and lovable in and of itself alone. And that's hard for us. But if we can wrap our minds around that and understand that that right there is the motivation in his love, that's what God love is, well, that shakes us up. shakes us up real good because it shows how shallow our self-centered perception truly is. We keep thinking, what do I get out of it? What does it have to do with me? It has nothing to do with that. He loves because he loves because he loves. And that's what we need. And in that, you know, here's the real treasure that's hidden in there. The moment that we realize how awful we are is the same moment we realize how awesome God is. Oh, I don't love like that. And he does. That's incredible. And that's the truth that can change your life in the exact same way as $1 billion. Because before we discover God's love, we think of our value as performance-based. You know, how good did I do on this? That's I'm meeting quotas or I'm failing to meet them, but that's it. I'm good and lovable because I do or I produce something beneficial for someone else and everybody judges me as good. When we meet a standard, we know that that means I have value. And so we feel bold and we feel confident. And on the flip side of that, when we fall short and we don't meet that standard, we're ashamed and we're humbled. They're a little bit bummed out. However, after uncovering, unearthing that true God love that is behind his grace and mercy, miraculously this incredible thing happens. We can simultaneously be bold and humble. Bold and humble, not depending on whether we met a goal or fell short, because we know that our failures, after being loved the way with God's love, we know that our failures are forgiven, so that's okay. And our successes are in spite of us, not because of us, so we don't get puffed up. So we get to have the best of both worlds. We get to be bold, and we get to be humble. And the more that you can actually treasure that truth, and I mean get it into your heart and act like it's true, the more unshakable you become. Because in the exact same way that we think $1 billion will do it, God's riches drowns out our earthly worries. You know, we think about that all the time. If only, right? If only I had that money, I wouldn't even care. It wouldn't matter. None of this stuff would be a big deal. God's riches does the same thing. It just drowns out your earthly worries. Whatever you do with whatever life throws at you after you dig up this truth about his love, well, it won't change your value to the King of Glory if it's his love that you're after and not his money. Got that? And that truth right there, that truth itself actually takes us on another treasure hunt that Paul points out. He says, at one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures of the flesh, right? That's what it's good at. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. And I want to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God, have experienced this, may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. Everyone. Treasure for everyone. That is the ultimate goal. And you better believe that God shakes up all of your priorities and plans when you unearth his true purpose. When you find out, when you go seeking him in his word and he shows you what it's all about, it's going to tell you what to do also. And look, if God's truth can change you into a humble but bold billionaire, well, it can do it with anyone, right? Let's be honest. That's incredible. So when he tells us in his word that this is part of the plan, he plans to shake the whole world. And that we can partner with him. He's asking if we want to partner with him to do what? Oh, how about to spend the rest of our lives just giving out more life-changing treasure to everyone who needs it? Sign me up. That sounds great. Philanthropy. I love that that's a profession. That sounds incredible. You just give money away? Oh, it'd be so rewarding. We can. All it takes is that willingness to partner with him. We have to stay ready and we have to stay willing. We got to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. It's for all of them, okay? And we got to be ready, willing, waiting. He'll make us able. But just understand that being ready means that you're on alert. You're not on a schedule. Okay? This has nothing to do with your timing anymore. We are now a part of something way bigger, way more fun, way more life-changing. All right? Because God's not asking for our help if we can contribute. He's just asking for your hands. He's going to do it. He just needs the vessel, right? And if you've already discovered the truth that's given you the luxury of looking past your earthly self, well, you ought to always be ready to surrender it when God wants that vessel to take someone else on a treasure hunt. I would be honored. I think it would be a blast if he says, hey, go tell them this incredible truth. It's going to change their life. You got it, God. Where to? That's fun. That's incredible. That's, oh, it's just so wonderful. And it's that constant prayer that makes your flesh ready by keeping your spirit willing. One's got to kind of tame the other there, right? Because we stay spiritually focused by praying on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests, nonstop. Pray continually, right? Discipline, discipline, discipline. That's what it takes to keep us from slipping back into spiritual sleep because our flesh is fighting to get us back on that path of least resistance. It's saying just snooze, hit that button, don't worry about it. No, you got to stay focused. Stay focused. So if you are serious about digging deeper to lighten the load of your earthly life, well, then I want you to put this gold nugget directly into your chest right now. Okay, this is what we build on. This is one of the best. You, my brothers and sisters, every one of you, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law, everything that he's doing here for us, is the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's that easy. Because if we can just do that, absolutely everyone will get to undergo the life-changing shake of a truth that unleashes the Spirit and unearths our own true identity, our own true love, and our own true purpose. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray, guys. Father God, you are the King of glory. You are awesome, and you are love. And we thank you for shaking our little lives with the treasure of your truth. Holy Spirit, teach us to see past our earthly selves by revealing the true power and perspective and plan that's hidden in plain sight right there in your word. And Lord Jesus, we offer our hands and we dedicate our lives to your life-changing purpose as we just learn to love like you. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.